Welcome to the 83rd edition of the Gooner podcast, recorded immediately after number 82 on the Monday evening before Arsenal's visit to Borussia Dortmund. Thanks as ever to our sponsors, GoonerShirts.com, the website for all your quality cult Arsenal t-shirt needs. I'm your host, Dave Ludo, and still with us on the panel are Pradeep Kachala and Mark Ollington, and they have been joined by our Gooner editor, Kevin Witcher.
Hello!
Hello to the rest of you. Bearing in mind, you know, the misery we were talking about, you know, beforehand in number 82, let's have a look at the start we've actually made. And I suppose one way of looking at it is the way we have tried to score goals. And in fairness, we have had a degree of trouble scoring goals in the league so far this season. 3 in 4 matches and only 1 in 2 at home. Pradeep, is this simply bad luck, or are we already really missing Fabregas and Nasri?
I think it's a little bit of bad luck. System as well, I don't think we've got enough strikers up there. If Van Persie gets injured, which he will, we're in a little bit of trouble. I think time will tell on goals. We've never had problems scoring goals, especially at home. So I'm not sure whether goals will be our problem again this season. I think we'll be fine in the goals department. Don't remember, Jovinho will be back, Walcott's starting to get a few, Van Persie, I think we'll be fine actually.
I'll say it again, I'm 95% certain that Jovinho is Emmanuel Eboué in some kind of weird disguise. What's your stance on everything, Mark? Are we actually doing okay, we've just had a slow start to the season, or do we really look as though we're struggling to score goals?
We are struggling very much, and Robin Van Persie, if he does stay injury-free, can't do it by himself. I'm baffled as to why we have to stick with 4-3-3 now Fabregas isn't here anymore. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And if Wenger does believe in players like Park, if he really does believe that, you know, Jovinho... And what I can't understand is that Andre Arshavin, before he came here, was a really good support striker in like a 4-1-1 kind of position. Obviously, since he came to us, Wenger's ruined him. We're playing him out on the flanks. It's not just Arshavin's late, though, the fact that he's not, can't tackle back and track. It's not his natural place to play. And I really do believe he'd be far, far better behind the front man. Why we can't go back to the days where that Bergkamp-type figure is beyond me. You've got plenty of players that can actually play in that kind of role. And we've got players like Chimak even. You know, and this is a guy that's bereft of confidence, but almost scored a decent goal on Saturday against Swansea. And I think if we are going to score goals, we've got to change the way we actually play football. Do you play Walcott down the middle? Now, for all of Walcott's failings and all of his like stupidity at times, he has got like what 2 or 3 goals this season. And I believe coming from the flanks, he's just not a decent player. So I think if we've got any chance this season of doing well at all, we've got to change the way we play. We can play 4-3-3 some games, but some games Wenger's got to change his philosophy and play 4-4-2 or 4-1-1-1. Until he does that, we are not going to score a plethora of goals. Simple as that.
Kevin, was the 4-2-3-1 with Dennis Bergkamp up front on his own, which is currently the team that we're putting out, is that the best thing and something we're going to get used to? Or are we really, really struggling?
Well, I mean, there has been an element of bad luck. I mean, we have hit the woodwork. I think we can really only definitively say after we've had another month or so of football whether or not the attack has actually lost something through the departures of Fabregas and Nasri. It was interesting to note that the first two really decent chances against Swansea were set up by Arteta. And Jovinho has been suspended, and I suspect, unlike you, that he will actually be a good contributor to our attacking football. What's I'm thinking now is that the system is quite fluid that we play, and in a sense, you could almost say that, you know, if you imagine the current formation we've got, and say instead of the personnel we've got, if you say the two holding midfielders instead of, let's say, Song and Wilshere, you know, in theory the first choice, you had Gilberto and Vieira, and then instead of the Fabregas role, just say put Dennis Bergkamp in there, and then these two wide attackers, just say one of them was Lundberg, one of them was Pires, and then just say the forward was Thierry Henry. In fact, there isn't actually a massive amount of difference, because although Bergkamp was more forward than this Fabregas role. He also did used to drop deep quite a bit. You know, he did used to get involved with the midfield. So I sometimes think we do talk about formation, but really it is a personnel issue, and that the personnel have declined and been allowed to decline since we were winning trophies. So in a way, I just think the players probably aren't quite as good, and that's the reason that gradually goals are becoming harder to create and come by. But I mean, my main concern is injuries. You know, when you have backup like Kanu and Wiltord, you can still put decent players on the pitch. Nowadays, you know, Walcott's your first choice, and you're not going to rely on him to score goals, because frankly he's going to miss quite a few and he's going to waste opportunities as well. So, you know, the gradual decline in quality concerns me greatly, and I think the next month will be critical in determining how this season will pan out in terms of goal scoring. We do need to pick up badly, and maybe that's luck, but maybe it's the players.
Paddy, have we sent out a very, very injured team every single game so far this season, or are we pretty much there to fitness? And a further question would be, what is our first choice 11 going to be?
Okay, first question. Have we sent out an injured team? Again, Ramsey's injured again. I don't think there's enough fit players in the squad, and I think he's taking risks on players. He certainly took a risk on Ramsey at the weekend, because I heard he was injured before then. I don't think Gibbs looks fully fit. He could go on, really. I mean, I think it's a patched up side at the moment, and it's going to be a while before, if we ever do, get our best team out. I suppose if you had the best team, you'd have Chesney at the back. Right back, you'd have Sanya, Vermaelen, Mertesacker, and then I'm going to say Gibbs on the left, because I haven't seen Santos play. Haven't seen him play ever. I'd play four in the midfield. I'd stick. I'd put Wilshere, Arteta, on the Jovinho, and then maybe Ramsey on the left, just to short the middle. And then up front, I'd put Van Persie and Walcott. I wouldn't put Song in the side. I'd leave out Frimpong. I think Arteta can do a decent screening job, and so can Ramsey and Wilshere. I'd stick Ramsey on the right, on the left.
I think that's fair enough. I do like the idea of a formation there as much as anything else, because you do try and play two up front. Mark, what are you looking at?
What, for my favourite formation? I love questions like this, but go on, what's that?
Well, in that case, shall we go down for that particular question?
Same back four as my good man here.
Okay.
But in the midfield, I'd have Ramsey, Wilshere, Song, and I will stick with a 4-3-3 to go get twice then, with Arteta, Arshavin and Van Persie up front.
Interesting. So you're going to drop England's right winger, Theo Walcott?
Yes, totally.
Fair
in favour of Arshavin, who I still believe can be an amazing player. I believe he's been out of form and everything else, but the guy has skill in abundance. If you get him motivated, get that guy playing, he could still be absolutely brilliant, and he's a much better naturally gifted footballer than Theo Walcott will ever be. I like Theo, nice guy and everything else, but I'm talking about if a player's on top of his game and a player's on in form, Arshavin could still be brilliant, and I'm glad he didn't go in the summer, because he can be world class. We've seen scant sight of that recently, but I'm hoping he's still there somewhere.
Kevin, is there much of a change that when everybody's fit, hopefully in the course of the next couple of weeks and all of these suspensions have wound down, more on that shortly, would either of the teams named by Pradeep or Mark suit you? Or
no, not at all.
I need is to know.
What's this with Gibbs at left back? I mean, are you telling me Santos isn't the best at left back?
I think
you can take it as read that after having gained 33 caps for Brazil and spent time at big clubs in Brazil and Turkey, he's got more to his game than Gibbs.
We'd be fair to Gibbs there, Kev.
I'm not having a go at Gibbs. Gibbs is completely blameless in all this. Bottom line is that Gibbs needs coaching. All right, Gibbs has not received defensive coaching, and hence doesn't really know how to defend properly. Okay, he looked pretty out of his depth against the Swansea right winger on Saturday. Now, I think, you know, that's all you need to know. I've never heard of the Swansea right winger. Sinclair, was it? Before Saturday.
The Chelsea reject, yeah.
Right.
Well, basically kept absolutely skinny, Kieran Gibbs, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think Santos would have allowed that?
We're only going because I didn't watch the Santos do yet, Kev. We're
right, well, take my word for it. It'd be better, all right? So the rest of you back for...
Kevin said so.
Okay, all right. I'm going to put Song and Wilshere as the holding midfield duo, simply because we'll get on to Ramsey, but Ramsey is not quite there at the moment. Possibly never will be again, but anyway. Song and Wilshere together... with Arteta in the Fabregas role, and then I'd put Jovinho and Arshiv in wide of Van Persie. So that's the personnel. You get your best players out on the pitch, and the system's so fluid anyway that there'll be enough variation there, whatever the formation.
So really, the same team with me, Kev, apart from Jovinho swap with Ramsey.
Yeah, but you put Arteta on the...
same difference. It's a fluid team.
Difference. Oh, right. Only in the sense they're both on the pitch. One of the points that Kev brought up was about Aaron Ramsey, who ended the season relatively well in the sense that he just came back from his injury and scored the winning goal against Manchester United. However, his form so far this season has been really, really quite disappointing. I mean, Kev, you're the one who raised him as a point. I mean, do you think he'll ever fulfil the potential that Wenger's seen him in?
Well, I remember seeing him in, was it the FA Cup final Cardiff made against Pompey?
Yeah, he came as a substitute.
And I just thought, because we were already linked with him at that stage, and I just thought this guy spraying the ball around, it looking absolutely fantastic. Very creative, very imaginative. Possibly because he was playing against Pompey, you know, he might look better than he does sometimes for Arsenal. But when he came to the club, you know, gradually he was introduced and he was coming on, and then he almost looked like a first choice before that injury. Since then, the comeback, it's interesting that he was loaned out for so long before he was actually, you know, given the chance back at Arsenal. And you got to wonder, if he was that good a player, whether or not he would have spent so much time at Forest and Cardiff last season. And I think what we're seeing now is an honest pro, but I mean, you don't want to isolate one example, but in the Swansea game, that second half move where it was three against one in Swansea's half, Ramsey had the ball, he just had to find one of the three Arsenal player, he's put it straight to the Swansea guy. The composure, the football intelligence, you know, something seems to be missing from his game. Now, I don't know if that's the injury or what, or just playing in a poor side and losing confidence, but he does not seem the player that we thought he was going to turn out to be at the moment.
I disagree.
I do as well.
Please.
The guy ran, he's the Wales captain. I saw him against England, and who did they beat on the weekend before?
Montenegro.
Who are a good team, actually. I forgot it was Montenegro. And he ran both games. What is supposedly a good England midfielder, and he was by far and away the best Welsh player in both games. And this is probably the first time since he's broken his leg he's played three games within a week. So yeah, he did look a bit knackered on Saturday, and no, it wasn't his best game, and he's not playing that well at the moment. He's probably saving his best performances of Wales, but he's not playing that well, but he's still not that bad. So when he steps it up, I think he'll be fine. I think he's a great player.
Could not agree more. Against England, he was probably the best player on the pitch in that match. And I think the points we're raising are absolute, you know, Kev's a football guru at times, but I can't agree with that in the slightest. I think for Wales, you pointed it out, he was absolutely brilliant in both matches. It's because he's playing in a very poor Arsenal team. When you've got players like Fabregas that you're playing with, and even Song when he's on form, it's far, far better and easier to find form and Wilshere last season than it is when you've got Frimpong, as great as he is, you know, he's still young and naive and everything else. And I forget who else was playing in the midfield on Saturday night. It was Frimpong, it was Ramsey, and you know, brand new to the club. And I think, you know, the guy is playing in a team devoid of confidence. He's not kind of, like, you know, thriving by himself, but nor are half the rest of the players. You put him in a decent team, that guy would be absolutely brilliant. And I bet you now every day he sits there going, why the hell did I sign for Arsenal? Nobody had that time. He always went to Man United, didn't he? And then at the last minute changed his mind and, basically come to us. I feel really sorry for Aaron Ramsey. I think he's been sold an absolute patsy coming to Arsenal. He's playing with, you know, really players that aren't up to top standard. And I think the guy could be absolutely brilliant. I honestly believe it's the standard of football and players that he's playing with. And his performances for Wales midweek, I think, speak volumes.
In the light of that, can the team recover from the loss of Fabregas and Nasri with Ramsey and Wilshere presumably playing in the exact same roles?
Yeah.
Really?
I think people say Wilshere's 19 years of age and whatever age he is now. If he's fit, the guy's class. Mm. And yet he's still got a lot to learn. But don't forget, Fabregas at that age was also brilliant too. There are some players that, regardless of what age they actually are genuinely good. You bung those two players to them together. Perhaps with Song, when he's actually on them form, I think you've got a brilliant midfield.
When Wilshere's back next season... He actually Ramsey looks very comfortable playing alongside Wilshere. In pre-season, when those two actually started the game, they looked, you know, pretty good together. There was a lot of dynamic, and there was a good understanding between the two. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think I think Jovinho is effectively now a replacement for Nasri in the wing, slightly different player. Nasri's a wing; he was never a central midfielder, and. Basically, it's another season of transition now. We've had to rip up the book, and, you know, the so-called young generation of before, the lost boys now, you know, your Bentners and your Clichés, and, you know, who else was there? There's Flamini again, Fabregas, they've all gone, so we're starting again. They're still here, isn't he? He's not gone either. They're nearly out the door. Just trying to push them out.
Sure, paying half their wages still there.
Oh, bloody hell. Yeah, I think it must be. I think we're starting again, and we probably need to give it a couple of years.
We sounded a bit like Tottenham Hotspur here.
Season
of transition.
Well, we're looking at the manager who told the journalist that Arsenal, and I quote, could not consider themselves a big club if they lost both Fabregas and Nasri. Kev, do you think he believed that one of them would remain? If not, do you agree with Pradeep and Mark that we'll be okay with Wilshere and poor Aaron Ramsey?
Firstly, let's just
oh, you're right, Kev.
Let's just cover.
Shall
the,
give you a cuddle?
No, I'll wait till I get home. I'll hold out somehow. Let's cover the Nasri situation. I believe that Arsene Wenger wanted to keep Nasri. I even believe he may have been deluded enough, because I do think he's going senile, to think Nasri might have actually renewed his contract at some stage in the next few months, in the way that he did Flamini. You know, I think genuinely Wenger does live in a different planet from the rest of us, and that he had a naive belief that Nasri might actually sign on for longer. So I think when he said that, he was confident that Nasri would not be sold. I mean, reputedly there was a board meeting on Members' Day, which was after he'd given this press conference, when the board basically told Wenger that it's time to cash in on this particular asset. You know, the board with their business heads on, which they've never really had off for a number of years. So that's not a surprise. So basically they made the manager look like a fool, but the manager set himself up for that with his words. And he later denied saying them, even though they were recorded in a press conference. So I think he anticipated Nasri would still be here. As far as replacements are concerned, Jovinho is Nasri's replacement. And the question is, was he going to push Wilshere forward or keep Ramsey in the Fabregas position? And but for the 8-2 defeat at Old Trafford, one suspects Mikel Arteta might not have come. However, I suspect now Arteta will be played there, and Ramsey will partner Song or Frimpong in the holding midfield positions until Wilshere is fit again. So no replacement for Fabregas internally. I think Wilshere will stay deep, and Arteta will be the man to take that role.
It's a fair question, actually. Sorry, it's a fair point raised, which does raise a very, very key question mark. In light of what Kev's just raised, Nasri, Fabregas and Clichy appear to look better players at any new clubs, albeit in the early stages. Do you think this is a testament to their new managers, or that they are simply surrounded by better players, or was Wenger purely trying to cheat absolutely everyone?
It's got to be better players, isn't it? And also a little bit to do with coaching. I think, you know, Nasri got one assist last season. He's got four so far for Man City in two games. And
Clichy only had one assist last season?
Yeah.
Clichy, I think you said, didn't you?
Seriously, it's a fact. He had one assist last season. He's got four so far for Man City in two matches. But and then also with regards to Clichy, you know, it is early days. You've got to remember that. But the guy does look different class playing for City. He does. The last game, he's been tackling. He's barely made a tackle for Arsenal. I saw him on Match of the Day, and that's how he highlights. But he got three amazing tackles in. I've never seen him do that for us. Like, not even once. He's always second to the end ball. So I'm not sure what's happened. But was it Traore said at a fans' dinner that, you know, that after
a match, it was Traore, yeah.
He said that, you know, the thing that got him about Arsenal is that after a game when they lost, no one was ever there to tell him what went wrong, what he could do better, or to coach him. Wenger expected all these players to kind of know. Now, I've got no idea what the coaching likes at City. I've got no idea if Mancini takes them through defensive drills and what have you.
Yep.
But it does seem, doesn't it? You know, even though I think you might disagree with me in a minute, mate, about Clichy. But I reckon, though, both those players, in very early stages, who knows, the season's a long, long time, but they look like players reborn. Now, it might just be they're at a brand new club. I think Adebayor is a case in point. He goes to a brand new club, looks brilliant for a few months, and then dwindles very, very quickly. That could be the same thing. Who knows? But it does seem weird, doesn't it, that back in the day, normally when Wenger sold players, they had rubbish careers after they left Arsenal, whereas now the reverse seems to be happening, that players are leaving Arsenal are becoming better, and that's quite worrying.
Pradeep, where do you sit on this?
Clichy will make mistakes during the season. Absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, there were points in the season last season where, you know, he looks alright, but he'll make mistakes, and come the end of the season he won't be the Man City left back at all. I think he still can't deal with the ball bouncing over the head. You saw that in the Charity Shield. I don't know why De Jong got blamed for that winning goal. Was it Rooney who scored the winning goal? Was it Nani? Nani's winning goal. That was Clichy's fault. No, so sorry. Nasri, yep, he'll probably be a better player at City. That's probably because he's got better players around him. But then again, Man City probably won the league this season. Fabregas, he's in a better side again, and they'll probably win the league this season. One thing I don't agree with, actually, and you know, this isn't me sitting in the arse and knows best camp, it's he can't have become a bad coach overnight. There's this myth that Arsene Wenger inherited a back four from George Graham. Yes, he did, but if you look at the invincible side of 04, that was his back four.
He was given Sol Campbell, though, wasn't he?
He bought Sol Campbell.
The other thing to remember is that Keown was still at the club and had played a part in the development of that back four, even if it was only on the training pitch. I mean, Lauren was playing right back since 2001, so he played alongside Adams and Keown. Ashley Cole obviously was also developed there. So in a sense, that Invincibles back four was a legacy of being in the same squad as George Graham's players and being shown the ropes by George Graham's players, not by Arsene Wenger. Toure was the one who frankly was a surprise, but I think he was more or less operated on strings by Sol Campbell.
Now the fat substitutes bench here at Manchester City.
So, well, Pauly, sorry mate, you were saying, did you really believe that Wenger was always a great coach? Because, don't you know what, I did as well. And for years and years, I was a messiah at the feet of Arsene Wenger. But you know, when things kind of change and the romance goes sour, you kind of look back at it and think, well, I wonder what did go wrong there. Or was she always fit? Or was she always had that kind of minging ball on her back?
Basically, when Wenger came to England, he was a pragmatist. He took an English back four and he changed it a little bit. He stopped them drinking and they were eating broccoli. And he had the right balance between bringing the players like Vieira and Anelka in and keeping the English core. What's happened since then is he's become far too idealist. And I don't think it's that. It's not too late for him to change, to go back to think to himself when he goes to sleep on, hang on a second, where the hell have I lost it? Have I become a bad coach overnight, or have I just become too stubborn? And if he doesn't do that, then unfortunately, I don't think he'll be here much longer. And you know, the Arsene Wenger reign will more or less be the rise and fall of Arsene Wenger. I wouldn't like to see that. I think he should actually go back and think to himself what made him a good manager.
You've got some points, but I was reading Kev's new book. Well, I say new book, he's a book about Alex Finn, which has five extra chapters. Was it Arsene, the Making of Modern Super Club?
Exactly right. RRP $8.99, available from online bookstores, much cheaper.
And this is a genuine point, not a unplugged. There's five extra chapters at the back, and in one of them, the point was kind of made about, you know, Arsenal and the defence and everything else. And I actually totally forgot about the point in your book. Totally forgot about the point I was going to make. So it really does sound like an absolutely massive plug.
Thanks for that, Mark. I'm overwhelmed by the quality of that particular mention. Anyway, no matter. Moving swiftly on, Mr. Udo.
I think at that point we can wrap up in traditional style. The email address for any communications about the podcast is goonapodcaster@gmail.com. And thanks once again to our sponsors, goonashirts.com. Before we depart, just a quick opportunity for our Gooner editor to plug the latest issue of the fanzine. Please, away you go, Mr. Witcher.
Right, issue 217 of the Gooner went on sale at the Swansea game. It will also be on sale for the home matches against Shrewsbury, Bolton and Olympiacos. It's another fun-packed issue with some great reminiscence of times past and an interview with the man Ask Blogger, famous for another podcast which we in no way can compete with, but it's another well-spent £2 for those of you who choose to invest. Also available online from the very website from which you downloaded this podcast. And that's all I've got to say on that.
I remember my brilliant point from your own book.
Go on, Mark.
In it mentions how Martin Keown, who obviously, as we know, in that famous kind of run-up to the Champions League final in the back four, yeah, how Arsene Wenger in recent subsequent years has diminished his commitment or his contribution.
He was only doing his coaching badges.
Whereas the defence at the time, as you pointed out in your very good tone, Kevin, was very, very happy and always said how what a great job Keown was doing in mastering that back four. To me, that sums up Arsene Wenger. He's so now by himself. He's always alone. He's very focused. He's him by himself and doing everything. And I find it very, very sad that he did that, Kevin.
He won't allow anyone else to get any credit. And that's the sad thing about Wenger. You know, he's too... I mean, basically, to get industrial about this, he's too up his own rectum to, you know, allow the concept that someone else could actually make a positive contribution to his football team. Hence the reason he's retained the same coaching staff whose contribution has been the likes of Pat Rice looking up at the director's box during the Udinese home leg second half to say, what shall I do, boss? You know, that's where we are now. And if Wenger was less proud and a bit more like Alex Ferguson, then he would get people in who would make a contribution.
An awful lot more of that available from Vision Sports Publishing.
I'm glad I like remembered the point, otherwise people would be listeners and I thought I hadn't really read the thing.
If you look at the Vision Sports Publishing website and you try to buy the book, there's a promo code box. If you type in the word Gooner, you will get money off.
And I will say that it's actually a very good revised edition. I've now bought this book three times and yet I'm still here on this podcast. That is why, not because I'm any good, in fact I just buy Ken's books.
We will be back with one more podcast of this evening's recording session very, very soon. However, for now, with my thanks to the panel, it's time to say farewell. I'm your host, David Udo, and thank you all very much for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Well, hey!